Okay, so we are this week in Proverbs 31, verse 27, which says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." And in here, like last time, we see actually two characteristics as you take this verse and break it into two parts. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and in that, we see that she is watchful. She's watchful to the things that are going on in her house and being mindful of what's coming in, and she's going to look at it and decide, is it healthy? You know, is it godly what is coming into and what's taking place in her household? So she is watchful. And then the second part of the verse, which says, "And eateth not the bread of idleness," we see that she is a diligent woman as she is about her business, and not lazy or slothful in anything that she does. And I was going through my devotions the other day, and sometimes I get a little bit behind, and then I catch up on some of them, and I was going through some of the daily breads that I had missed, and I was very blessed by Friday's daily bread. It was called Mama's Rules, and it was coming out of Ephesians chapter 4, and it specifically talked about verse 22, "Put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt." And this is what it had to say, and it just stuck out because I was thinking about the portion of this verse that says that she looketh well to the ways of her household. It says, "I met a delightful woman named Mama Charlie, who has raised a dozen or so foster kids. These youngsters were assigned to her by the courts, and she gave them a home with stability, guidance, and love. She told me that every time a new child arrived, the first order of business was to explain Mama's rules. These included behavioral standards plus chores that would provide much needed help in a busy household while teaching accountability to the kids who had little previous training. Some of the children may have balked at Mama's rules, thinking they were robbing them of fun or pleasure, yet nothing would be further from the truth. Those standards allowed for an orderly household where both Mama and the children could find life enjoyable and peaceful. Similarly, some look at the standards God has set forth in the Bible as obstacles that prevent us from enjoying life. However, the boundaries God places actually protect us from our worst inclinations and foster healthy responses to Him. In Ephesians chapter 4, for example, Paul provides some guidance for how we are to live. As we live by these and other loving instructions from God, we find protection and the opportunity for true, lasting joy." And isn't it true that when we are following God's ways, that there's great freedom in that, because we don't have to worry about, is there going to be a consequence brought into my life? Is there going to be, you know, some disciplinary action that's coming my way because I am not following His ways? And there's great freedom in that, you know. And so what the children may see as, "Oh, we can't have any fun if you're setting up all these rules," actually are to protect them and enable them to have more freedom than what they think. Because if they're going in ways that they shouldn't be, then there's going to be consequences. For one, they could be doing dangerous things where they're going to get hurt physically, but then they could be doing things that are dangerous spiritually as well, where they're going to get hurt. And so these guidelines are set up for their protection, and it's actually a better environment than if guidelines and rules aren't set up. So as we look at this Proverbs 31 woman and we think about her looking well to the ways of her household, she's actually bringing peace and order to her home because she's being careful about what is allowed in the household. And there are some verses that relate to just looking out for things in your home. One of them is Proverbs 14:1, and we'll take a quick look at that. It says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. And so if we are going to look well to the ways of our household, we're going to be seeking out wisdom. And we know that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So we're going to be reverencing the Lord. We're going to be in His Word, seeking out what He considers to be wise, so that we can be building up our homes instead of tearing it down with our hands. Because if we're not walking in wisdom, if we're not acting wisely in our homes, and we're allowing things in our homes that go against God's word, you're going to see, it may be slow, but you're going to see that your house is actually being torn down little by little. And I think our lessons brought out the fact that because we spend, as women, the majority of the time in the home, that we are pretty much responsible for what is being allowed in. Yes, the husbands have that leadership role, that spiritual head of our home, but because they're not there all the time, and we're, if you have kids, you're with those kids, and you're seeing what they're doing, what they're watching the majority of the time, and it is our responsibility to say, that's not okay, or I'm listening to the words of those lyrics, the lyrics to those songs. Do you really understand what they're saying? Or, you know, that's not a good thing. That doesn't belong in our home, and it's okay for us as women to take it out. If they're not responding to us, then we turn that over to Dad and say, okay, you know, you need to come in. But we're the ones who are the main watcher. We're the ones who are going to be seeing the majority of the time what's going on. Also in Proverbs, chapter 24, verse 3, says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So again, that's just it's confirming the fact that the house is built on wisdom. And where do we get our wisdom from? We get our wisdom from the Word. And so we must be in the Word daily, because that's what's going to allow our house to be built on the right foundation. And I also says, by understanding, it's established. So from wisdom comes understanding. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Don't we want pleasant things in our home, and precious things to be taking place in our home? And that's all going to happen if we're building our house in wisdom, if we're in His Word, we're spending time with the Lord, and we're allowing Him to speak to us. We're not rushing through our devotions just to say, I spent time, you know, oh, I did it. But spending time with Him, waiting for Him to speak to us. And then our rooms, it says, are going to be filled with precious and pleasant riches. And that's not to say that there aren't going to be moments where it's difficult. And there's going to be strife there. But we're going to be taking care of issues that arise in a wise way, and using God's wisdom and saying, this is what God's word says, and that's why we can't allow this in our home. I know Fred and I are coming to a place where we are about this close to getting rid of our television. And and that's going to be balked at by our kids, because we spend a lot of time in front of that TV. But we're finding more and more that there is stuff coming through that port into our home that is ungodly. Even though for the few things that we watch that are good, 90% of it is bad, and you can't control, you know, you don't realize a commercial is coming, and the first thing that comes on is like, oh, and then that image is there, and it's, you know, and it's stuck. And so we're trying to build a house on wisdom, and we want precious and pleasant riches in our home. And so we're about to say, okay, because God's word says, you know, we need to be careful what we're watching. We need to be careful, you know, what we're hearing. It's time to remove what's bringing in some stuff that doesn't belong. And it's our responsibility to do that. And use the backing of God's word for that. And now I want to break down this verse a little bit and look at some of what the words of Proverbs 31 actually mean and go from there. It says, she looketh well. And as I look this up in the concordance, it means that she is keeping a careful watch. She's observing. So we don't always have to be saying anything. Sometimes we're just observing what's taking place in our home. Watching. It also says waiting. Sometimes our response is a quick lash out, but sometimes we just have to wait and see really what's happening in a situation before we lash out. But looking well. Attending to and enlightening the eyes. If we're in God's word and Jesus is light, he's going to be bringing things to our attention through our eyes that are good, and he's going to be enlightening things through our eyes that are bad and don't belong, and we need to trust him for that. Micah 7:7 says, therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Sometimes we might not really know in a situation. Okay, is this something that I should be concerned is taking place in my home? Is this something? And we can look to the Lord and wait on God's answer. And he will hear us, and he will guide and direct us. These are a couple things that we can be looking to. So we can be looking to God. And Psalm 5:3, my voice shall hear you in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. If we're looking well to the ways of our household, if we're keeping a watch, if we're observing, one of the places we're going to be looking is looking up to the Lord for his direction in our homes. And then it says that we're going to be observing, we're going to be waiting, we're going to be watching to the ways of our household. And these are the goings-on, the doings, the company of our home, the walk of our home, the progress of our home. And so we're going to be observing, we're going to be beholding or keeping a watch out of the goings on in our home, even the company who's in our home. Our kids have friends, and sometimes they're our friends are in our home, and is it good company that we have in our home? Yes, we do want to be reaching out to those that are not saved, but the majority of the time, who are your kids hanging out with? Who are they talking to, and what are those conversations? Is it something that's going to be building them up? Is it the company that we keep? Is it company that encourages us in the Lord? And again, yes, we need to be reaching out to those that aren't saved. But we do need to be also in relationships that are encouraging, because I'm going to tell you, it's very easy to be drawn away from the Lord, almost much easier to be drawn away for the one that's saved, if they're in a group of unsaved, than for that one to draw those unsaved into the ways of the Lord. So we do have to watch the company that our kids are keeping. I know last year Noah was going to, had a friend that he had met at school, and he was going to his house, you know, and he would spend a little bit of time there, and he came home one day and he said, you know, Mom, I'm not going to go there anymore. And we were like, what's going on? He said, well, you know, he's just using language that doesn't glorify the Lord, and I just don't like that, because it brings me to a place that I don't want to be at, because then all of a sudden I'm talking that way, and I, you know, and we need to be observant of that, you know, of what's going on. And later we did find out that there was not with Noah, but with this boy, eventually he was into drugs. And so you do want to watch that company that they're keeping. So looking well, observing the what's going on. And she's looking out for the ways of her household. She's looking out for, this was home, family, household affairs, dwelling, so those that are dwelling in the household. And this household was also the abode of light. So our home is where Jesus dwells, because he's dwelling in us. And so why do we want to be looking well to the ways of our household? Because Jesus is there. Are we doing anything that we would be, or allowing anything to take place in our home that wouldn't please the Lord, because he's there? Anything that we would be ashamed of if he were sitting right in front of us in person? You know, I think sometimes it's easy because we're not just seeing him right in front of us. Oh, we'll just let this slide, or we'll let that slide, and we forget that he's dwelling in us and among us and in our homes, and we want to make sure that our house is an abode of light, that what's taking place aligns with God's word, and that wouldn't bring shame to the name of our Lord. And sometimes we have to make difficult decisions that aren't going to please everybody. And I'm sure you're familiar with this verse, but Joshua 24, starting in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's a verse that you need to memorize. You need to put up on your wall or your mirror. You need to stand on this verse. Because here it's given a whole lot of possibilities of what could be taking place in your home. You can serve the gods on the other side of the river. You can serve the gods of Egypt. You can serve the gods which your unsaved family serves. You can serve the gods of the Amorites. There's a lot of gods in this world. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And when your kids try to bring things into the home which doesn't belong, you can say to them, that doesn't belong in our home. And when they put up a fight, you can say, listen, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And this is what his word says. And this is why we're making this decision, and that we're doing this. And that doesn't belong here, and it needs to be out. As your kids get older, they come into teenage years, they're going to start wanting more independence and more independence, and some of the things they might be listening to, some of the games they might be playing. I mean, we have limits on the you know, the games have age ranges on them, you know, and they range, you know, right from 4 years old and 7 years old, 9 years old, 12 years old. But let me tell you, you got to 12-year-old games, and there's some stuff in there that isn't so good, you know. And you think, well, it's for a 12-year-old, but you've got to be watching, you know. And, well, I got this new game. Well, I want to see that game. I want to see what's in that game. I want to listen to the words of that game. I'm downloading some music. Noah's very into rap. I'm not big on rap, but I will listen to that rap, or I will look up words of who those rappers are, because I want to know what's going in, you know, those gates, because it's important. And there was some stuff that I found on his iPad, and I looked up some of the words, and I wanted to vomit, and I said to him, that thing, that is coming off of your iPod, because that does not belong in our home. And out it went. And the reason was because me and my house, we serve the Lord. And that doesn't glorify the Lord or exemplify Him. So in different stages in your kids' lives, you're going to have to be more watchful than others. So, but that's a verse that you can stand on. Psalm 101, verse 2 says, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Are you walking in a way that, obviously, we're not perfect, but our Savior is, and He's going to be guiding and directing us, and we can choose to the best of my ability, and through the Lord's enabling, I'm going to walk in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And the only way that we can do that is asking Him to give us a fresh filling daily of His Spirit and allowing Him to guide and direct our homes. So she's looking well to the ways of her household. She's observant. She's watching. She's waiting. She's enlightening her eyes. And she's observing the doings, the goings-on of her home, the way that people are acting. And there may be things that you need to question sometimes. Somebody's behavior might be a little off there. You know, you might be seeing a tendency towards some anger, or you might be seeing, you know, wrath coming quickly, or, you know, it's okay to say, hey, what's going on, you know? Or somebody might become withdrawn, or extra quiet, something that's outside the norm. Be watchful, because they're all indications that something might be going on, you know? And so you just watch, wait, and then question, okay, something's happening here, you know, and allow them to open up, but keep being persistent, you know. I know something's going on here, and eventually they'll likely open up to you, you know, and say, hey, you know, I looked at something, or I saw something that I shouldn't have seen, or, you know, that I'm questioning, or I heard something, somebody said something, and I'm not quite sure, you know. And it might be going around in their heads, and they might be worried about something, they might be confused about something, or they might be upset because they know that they've sinned in a certain way, and they're afraid you're going to be mad at them or whatever. But we have to be observant, we have to be watching, we have to be looking well to the ways of our household, to the dealings that are going on within. And this connects with the second part of the verse. I mean, if at first you might be saying, this should be two completely different verses, because I'm looking well to the ways of my house, and I'm not eating the bread of idleness. Well, what do those have to do with each other? But when we become idle and passive and slothful. We might be seeing these things taking place in our home, but we might not be doing anything about it. And so the two parts of these verses do go hand in hand, because we want to be diligent about looking to the ways of our household. We don't want to be sitting back watching. And Fred likes this picture of a funnel. When things are at the bottom of the funnel, they're very concentrated, they're easy to handle, they haven't gotten away from you. But when you let things go, they start to funnel out. They spiral out, they get bigger and bigger, and it's hard once something is way out here to bring it back down to here where it's in control. It's when we're looking well to the ways of our household and we're seeing something that isn't sitting right, but we're not taking care of it. We're being lazy. We're eating the bread of idleness. We're just letting that little thing slide, that behavior slide, or that issue slide. Watching that isn't so bad. Eventually, we get out here and we're going, oh, and we're trying to take, now we have a big issue instead of a small issue. And it's really hard then to bring that big issue. It's not impossible, because nothing's impossible with our God. If we have let something go, you know, we do need to redirect it back down to that, where it belongs. But it's much easier when we see it at the beginning, to catch it when it starts, when it's a little spark, instead of a raging forest fire, to bring it, you know, under control. And so we do want to be diligent. We don't want to be idle. It says that she eateth not the bread of idleness. This eateth here is devour, consuming, to feed on. And the bread is food, a literal food, but also provision. And idleness is sluggishness, laziness, or slothfulness. We don't want to be feeding on laziness, feeding on being sluggish. Instead, we want to be devouring and consuming the provisions that bring wisdom into our homes, that lead us in that way where Proverbs 15:6, the beginning of it says, in the house of the righteous there is much treasure. We want our home to be pleasant and it to be like a treasure. We want it to be a place where people want to dwell and dwell in peace. Because God is good and His word is good. And when we want to be sharing with our kids, we want to be sharing with our husbands, God's word. Psalm 19, starting in verse 7. This is some of the reasons why we want to be bringing God's word into our home. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And so, as we are looking well to the ways of our household, we are pouring out God's word into our home, we are feeding on God's word, we're being diligent about watching and sharing and... Why? Because God's law is perfect, and it can convert a soul. We cannot bring our kids to heaven with us. They're going to have their own walks, and they're going to be accountable before God. And so we want to make sure that we are pouring God's law into them, His word into them, because it is perfect, and it does convert the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. When we were driving on Saturday, you know, we went through Mennonite country, and we were talking about the simple life, and sometimes wanting to be a little more simple than what we are, you know, but God takes that which is simple, and He makes it wise. But the only way that He can do that is if we're in His word, and we know His word. His statutes are right, and it brings rejoicing to the heart. When our kids question why they have to do what we say, if it aligns with God's word, we can say, because God's word is right. And it will bring joy into our homes. It will bring joy into our hearts and into their hearts. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Again, we talked about how God is going to reveal what belongs in our home and what doesn't belong into our home. He's going to enlighten our eyes, and it's going to be through His word. The fear of the Lord is clean. We talked about how the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. We need to have a reverence for God in our home. We need to be showing our kids what it means to reverence the Lord, and we need to be having that reverence for the Lord ourselves. We can't say one thing and act another way. We need to be living it out in front of them. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, so we can't say, well, we'll follow this part of God's word, but we're going to skip that part of God's word. It is true and it is righteous altogether, so we can stand on it. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to do what His word says. And it's to be desired more than gold, much more than much fine gold, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Yes, we can do other things. You know, we can sign our kids up for sports and scouts and whatever else. We can do all these other activities, and that's fine. But we need to be sure that we're bringing in God's word, because only God's word is truly going to satisfy. Because it's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. It's more to be desired than gold. All those things that we can bring into our homes, all that stuff, nothing compares to God's word. And moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. We need to make sure we're doing devotions with our kids, that we're in the word with our kids, because by His word, we are warned. He's going to show us those areas where we're headed for trouble or where we need to change something. And in keeping them, there's great reward. We started out saying that. There's freedom in keeping God's word. There's great reward in keeping God's word. You don't have to worry about what disease you have because you've been having a behavior with somebody that you shouldn't be behaving in that way. You don't have to worry about that. There's reward because I've kept God's word. You don't have to worry that there's going to be a consequence. I'm not going to jail because I'm not stealing. I'm not going to jail because I'm not doing drugs. I'm not, you know, going to be in rehab because of whatever, you know. When we keep God's word, there's great reward. And when we're in God's word, he's going to warn us if we are heading in a way that goes against his word. So if we are to be like this Proverbs 31 woman, we are going to be looking well to the ways of our household. We're going to be observant. We're going to be watching. We're going to be diligent. We're not going to be idle, but we're going to be active in our homes, making sure that God's word is going forth and that we're standing on God's word, we're standing on his promises, and that we are serving him in our home. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that it is more to be desired than gold, Lord, more than any of those things that we can acquire and put into our homes, Lord, more than the honeycomb, sweeter than the honey and honeycomb, Lord, to us is your word, Lord, and that we are warned by it, Lord, and that we are corrected by it, that we are rewarded when we follow it, Lord, and so we pray that you would help us to walk in your ways, Lord, that we would, as women, be mindful of the goings-on in our home, Lord, that we would be watchful, observant, and active in our homes, Lord, that we wouldn't be idle, allowing things to take place which don't belong in our homes, Lord, but that we would stand on your word and serve you today and always in our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.